And now, so guys, without further ado, tonight on the Chronic Pain Club Talk Show, we are joined by two, well, absolute shining lights in the dermatology, person-centered and holistic healthcare space. Two people I've had the pleasure of working with a few times in the past, and whom every time they speak, it is just this language that patient advocates have been chasing for years, and it's very refreshing. Two genuinely wonderful people. So I'd like to warmly welcome onto the show Assistant Professor Dr. Rachel Sommer, Head of People-Centered Healthcare Research at University Medical Center Hamburg. And again, hopefully for a bit longer this time, Professor Dr. Matthias Augustin, who, as a reminder, is the Director of the Institute for Health Services Research in Dermatology and Nursing at the same University Medical Center Hamburg in Germany. Both welcome in and thank you for joining us on your Sunday evenings.
Thank you so much, Joel, for this great and kind introduction, and especially thanks a lot for inviting us to your show. I think this is one of the best steps actually we can do together, right, in bringing forward people-centered healthcare, in talking with each other.
Once again, thank you for inviting me. I'm just the co-invited person here, and I'm looking forward to Rachel's presentation, but glad to be here to listen, and happy to answer some questions at the end with this limitation in connection, but obviously it works. But once again, also a great appreciation of the work you do with your studio and the messages you send out. I'm very supportive of this, Joel, as you know.
And thank you so much again for giving up your time, because I'm well aware that last time you joined us was from the airport, and so thank you for sort of making this surprise appearance. I really do appreciate it. So I suppose just to kick things off then, Dr. Sommer, do you want to maybe give people, because I'm, you know, we've done stuff in the past and I hang off everything you do work-wise. So do you want to maybe give people an overview of what it is that your role entails and how that sort of takes that people-centered approach?
Sure, I would love to do so. So actually, yeah, as you introduced me already, I'm head of the People-Centered Healthcare Research here at the Institute for Health Services Research in Dermatology at the University Medical Center in Hamburg. And what my team actually is aiming to do, to establish the holistic people-centered healthcare approach as a treatment standard in dermatology, but also, of course, beyond. And what we do to this end is to, for example, develop on one hand instruments to assess patient-reported and patient-relevant treatment goals and treatment outcomes, so patient needs, but also quality of life, well-being. Furthermore, we conduct research into the illness burden, treatment effects, and also we design and implement interventions, for example, to improve mental health of people with chronic skin diseases. But also, for example, we are really trying to fight stigma in skin diseases, and based on the actually resolution of the World Health Assembly from 2014 that probably all of you are quite familiar with, when the WHA actually asked all the member states to improve the quality of care in people with chronic skin diseases, but also to combat stigma. And what we did in Germany within a very huge multidisciplinary team is actually to develop a new seminar for ongoing medical students to decrease stigmatizing attitudes, stigmatizing behavior in their future career. And what we saw actually, that a such 3-hour seminar has really significant effects in decreasing stigmatizing attitudes. So we adapted this new seminar also for teachers, educators, and other healthcare professionals such as cosmeticians, nurses, physical therapists, hairdressers. And actually right now we are very busy implementing this new courses into the curricula of these professions in order to achieve a better behavior, less stigmatization for patients or people affected.
And that's just amazing. As a patient, I'm sitting here thinking like those things are so far removed of what we ever thought we would get to a point of looking at. So a massive thank you on behalf of the community for the work you're doing. And I'm sure we'll get more into those projects in the future of this conversation. Professor Augustine, I'm assuming you can hear me okay.
I do, yes, thank you.
Yes, superb, there we go. Do you want to, obviously we didn't get a lot of time when you last joined us for you to sort of give yourself a sort of bit of an introduction. Do you want to maybe, I know you do a lot, but do you want to maybe let the audience know what your work entails?
Well, actually, we share a lot of common goals, and on my behalf, I feel that there's a lot to do among dermatologists. Being a dermatologist myself, of course, I know how daily work is about. And what we try to develop, and I think we have progressed a lot in the past 10 years, is to have a culture of people-centered healthcare among dermatologists. So this is something we cannot, should not delegate to others, but include and implement into our daily doing. And the great finding is also backed by literature and by research that once we are doing better in terms of the people-centered care approach, like including shared decision-making, we are not just better and achieve better patient satisfaction, but more efficient. So in other words, when we get the skills of people-centered healthcare, our daily doing is more satisfying for all sides, but also we don't need that much time. So this is a great finding, which now we are going to implement into daily care. And of course, this includes several pieces. One is that we need to learn to listen rather than to talk as derms. Listening is more important. We also need to get the empowerment of the patient and check the level of empowerment. For this, we use patient-reported outcomes. We really need to learn the technique of shared decision-making, and we need to also implement goal orientation in treatment, saying that that there needs to be a shared goal between myself and my patient related to the basic needs or the major needs of the patient, and then we need to follow up the goals. Goal definition is one thing, but you need to define the when you follow up. And so this whole procedure, which is very close to daily doing, daily practice, is something that we promote, that we educate derms and other physicians, and this for the benefit of better healthcare. Yes.
Brilliant. Yes, and if I'm allowed to comment on this, actually, Matthias, that's why also continuous education for not only derms, but also other disciplines like rheumatologists is extremely important, right? I mean, just always continuously seeking for updated knowledge on treatment, burden, etc., right? So also attending conferences, attending courses, etc., etc.
Right.
Yeah.
And referring to shared decision making, actually, Joelle, I really love a very great statement that I found from you on LinkedIn a few days ago, where you stated, actually, may I cite you, I receive approximately 1 hour of specialist medical appointments a year. For the other 8,759 hours, I manage my disease. So make patients partners in their care. And that's exactly what we need, right? I mean, this is in its sense, I mean, this is shared decision making. And this is, I mean, in shared decision making, this is what we always say, right? I mean, patients are experts in their disease much more than a physician ever can be. And the physicians are just the experts in the management of the disease, right? But always in collaboration with the patient. So this is really, I mean, I saw this statement and it's perfect.
and I think that's why, for anyone that's new to this, you know, people-centered healthcare approach and everything, and maybe don't understand it, it's those terms that you two are both using just as part of everyday language, shared decision-making, asking what the patient wants, education, you know, all of those things which I, as a patient, feel like I've been asking for my whole life, to not be a passenger, but to be a partner in my healthcare. And then I think that's why the work that you two are doing and everybody else at your organization and other institutions is so vitally important, but also interesting to people like me, because it's so different to them experiences that we've had for a lifetime with our chronic illnesses. So I suppose, you know, now we know that there are people working towards these things. In reality, how do we implement it? You know, how do we go about actually making that be the norm, you know, from the traditional approach to medicine?
Actually, I think we all need different channels to be convinced and to adopt something which is new and which needs some time of transition. So I wouldn't expect from anybody to start the next day what may be reasonable. So this is a process of learning, of being taught, of being also supervised. And with the upcoming success, it gets more better on behalf of the derms, but also the patients. Most patients also need to learn, have a learning curve in this to get to shared decision making. But the most important thing, I think, is that there are best practice examples. We all learn from those who already have progressed in this, both on both sides. And so I like those tutors or those experienced dermatologists who can prove us that it's possible, and that it's a sort of role model that we need, and then others can follow.
And what about yourself, Dr. Sommer? Anything to add to that?
Yeah, actually, I mean, how to do so? I mean, there are several steps. One step is, of course, defining treatment goals together with patients, so based really on patient needs and not just based on clinical parameters. And this should be the absolute standard, of course, in care. And then, of course, not just defining the treatment goals together, but also evaluating continuously treatment benefit with patients together, based again on patient relevant outcomes, right? And I mean, we have some standards already in dermatology, which is, for example, quality of life, which is assessed always from patient's view. But there might be several others, of course. And I would also love actually to hear from your side what outcomes are most important from your perspective, which outcomes you wish to be assessed, right, by us to assess the treatment benefit.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because it's a topic that comes up quite a lot in the things I do around my advocacy, and that you don't always get asked, you know, what matters. It can be very much focused, especially with skin disease, on percentage of body coverage or severity of how it presents. And you know, I talk a lot about, with somebody with inverse psoriasis, that you can have a very small amount in a very specific non-visible location, but the mental burden that you carry with that, or the way it impacts your relationships and things like that. So I think for me, it's that repetitive checking back in with what those desired outcomes are, because they change with our life journey with these diseases. It's not like a triage thing, is it, where we have an injury and at that moment in time, there's a solution and we fix it and off we go. We live our entire lives more often than not with these conditions, and therefore our sort of desirable outcomes change with them throughout our life journey. So that conversation is really important, but we very rarely are able to have it, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a very nice quote in the people-centered healthcare video. There's a video by the WHO, and this cites that we do not want to avoid something, but we want to achieve something. And this turn from avoiding damage or avoiding burden to reaching out for something positive is highly promoted by WHO. And this means that also in daily practice, of course, we need to know the burden, those areas where there is a need, but the need is more important than the burden. And so with the need that we can share again, we get the goal. It's not to reduce burden, but achieve well-being or something other positive. Yeah. And this switch, as I said, from burden to needs and then to achieving value is what we have to promote.
Yeah, and also, of course, I mean, not just looking and assessing physical signs and symptoms, right? I mean, as said, I mean, this is the center of holistic care, also assessing emotional, social needs and burden and outcomes, of course, right? I mean, because psoriasis and many other chronic skin diseases affects, I mean, the entire life and all domains of life. So therefore, it's also important to include patients, families, partners, and also ask them for their burden, for their needs. So now I just had to move my camera.
That's it. It's all covered through fine RM. But yeah, I had a big smile on my face when you said that last bit, because one of the things we campaign for here in our little peer support community is that include and the caregivers. You know, it's why over the years I've dropped certain names and titles and things from the projects I work on, because it shouldn't just be about the person living with the disease, because everyone around that person lives with the disease as far as I'm concerned. So to hear people like yourself talking in them terms and consider, and you still see it, you know, we still see it where focus groups and you know, initiatives or work that might be going on, you know, that's intended to support the patient is very limited to the patient. So we're all for involving the caregiver here. So thank you for adding that, because I hopefully gives people hope back home that there is work being done, that the caregiver is seen in all of this.
Yes, and I think, I mean, one big aim of such a holistic care is to avoid cumulative life course impairment in terms, for example, of missed opportunities, right? I mean, we should really avoid that people with chronic diseases have another life course than they would have without the disease. So therefore, it's really crucial to also screen for mental health from the early beginning on, and to treat also these issues if needed, really from the beginning on, and not, you know, just years after.
And we've obviously talked about all this, you know, this is all very joined up, and you're not going to get any patients disagreeing with this approach. I'd be very surprised if we did. But in terms of like the barriers that, you know, clinicians face in implementing this, like time is the one that jumps to mind straight away. Perhaps Professor Augustine, you want to maybe talk a little bit about how do we implement this with the barriers that you face in the medicine world?
Yeah, in fact, I think some barriers are just perceived barriers. For example, good communication does not take more time than bad communication. So we just need to learn the skills and focus on the patient. But we're doing so, I don't need more time than others. And with such a people-centered healthcare approach, but we need to learn this. And a second point, of course, is that some physicians think that well-being, that the overall patient life is something they are not responsible for. So they provide the solution to skin clearance or to the skin problem, but not to the rest. And I think there we need to teach a more holistic view, as saying that there's an interaction, of course, between what happens on the skin, what happens in terms of health, and the overall person. So you cannot disconnect this. And this is what really needs to be taught to people. But I think that now students, medical students, get more and more insights in this. And the programs I know from the medical schools in many countries already include those elements. On the one hand, skills for better communication. And second, the understanding that a holistic view and the view on the whole patient life is needed to be successful in very detailed, also organic things. So I'm quite optimistic in this, but it needs continuous promotion of that. And for this, I'm also very grateful that we work together on this show.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with everything you said there. Dr. Sommer, is there anything from your work that you can maybe add to that regarding barriers, or maybe any barriers that exist that we didn't mention there?
Well, actually, I mean, one huge point, I think, but it's actually what Matthias or Professor Augustine already said, is also collaborative care, right? I mean, collaborating with other healthcare professionals. I mean, derms should collaborate with rheumatologists, with mental health professionals, but also with patient advocacy groups. I mean, people like you. And what we also should do much more is ask really patients to participate in research. So designing together research questions and research projects with patients. And I'm so glad to see, I mean, at least for Germany, but probably also in many other European countries, maybe also in the US, Matthias, you can come, please feel free to comment on this later on, that also, I mean, research organizations and especially, I mean, sponsors, ministries are requesting this really more and more. That patients are really, partners in designing research.
No, this is a great point. And this also, it's not just that we need patients also for the conception of a research program, but it's also a matter of attitude. So that the changing role of patients is manifested in the appreciation of collaboration in research. And there are some projects, I just want to name one, where this has been really well worked out. And this is, Joe, this currently running project of the Global Patient Alliance of Dermatology Organizations with more than 200 member organizations in single countries, which on a global level now is assessing data to demonstrate that skin matters and that skin diseases have a burden. And I don't know if I may later send you a mail asking for support, because everybody with a skin disease worldwide is invited in actually 17 languages in more than 200 countries. To participate and just give their votes and insights in what matters to them. So this is a program which is completely driven by the patient organizations. We just serve as the advisors and of course do the scientific work, but otherwise it's carried by the patients and it's highly acknowledged, just as a best practice example if you want.
Yeah, please do share anything you'd like me to promote, and I'll make sure that anyone listening to this back on the podcast, there'll be a link in the description as well for anyone to participate in that, so thank you. I wanted to sort of like, it, from listening to the things you two are both saying, obviously, you know, and I think Rachel, Dr. Sommer, sorry, I slipped into non-professional mode there. If I think you said it when we were having our conversations about you joining the show, that you can't just like talk the talk on this, you've got to walk the walk. And clearly your participation here tonight in your own time on a Sunday is clearly demonstrating that. What do you think can be done around people-centered healthcare in its implementation so that patients are sort of genuine collaborators of their care, so that we avoid there being any sort of like element of tokenism or tokenistic nature, if you understand what I mean by that term?
Yeah, I do, yes. Well, actually, again, I just can say starting really to broadly implement standardized tools to assess patient relevant data, have an open communication, education and support. I mean, actually, I'm starting to repeat myself, right?
But yeah, no, you both of you are pretty much answering all of my questions in advance. But yeah, I think that I wanted to mention that, because the reason I say it is I think when I was talking with you guys last year in Italy, that was a topic that came up when I was speaking to another patient, where they were like, yeah, but who's going to use patient-centered healthcare just so they can say that, oh, I'm working with the patient, but they're maybe not implementing it, they're not having an actual impact on patients' outcomes. Does that make sense? So it's kind of, I suppose, the question is around how can we implement this in a way that we're measuring the outcomes of it, as opposed to ticking that box to say, oh, we asked the patient what they thought or what they wanted, but we didn't actually do anything with that information. Maybe it's something Professor Augustine might have from a clinical point of view on.
Yeah, actually, I think I just learned what tokenism is, but this is a real point or a real challenge. And if it comes to the medical professions, I think we need a pull and push mechanism for what we want to achieve. Pull in that patient's demand. This is if there's a patient demand and request, they need to have an answer on this. So where we should encourage patients and empower them to ask for a more person or people-centered care. And the push is that we can promote this also, on, for example, on the level of guidelines. And now it's a must, for example, to include quality of life measures in the treatment management. And systemic treatment in most European countries, it's imperative to also measure quality of life. It's just one tiny step forward in a people-centered approach. The second is in things that we were also discussing, the pain management. Of course, in pain management, you need to assess pain, asking patients about this. This is a very simple example where the dermatologists, the physicians, are forced to also ask the patient and handle this patient votes as something needed for the treatment management. So with these tiny steps and also with the enlargement of guidelines, which now for the first time in some countries have included the term cumulative life cause impairment, we are moving forward. So, and then at some point, things which were quite unfamiliar 10 years back have become a standard. And so with this, I think the guidelines, the medical standards are a good way to promote this on behalf of the dermatologists.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. And we've kind of touched upon a little bit mental health already on several of the answers. And so one of the questions I did have, Dan, was about, you know, it feels like this approach is going to maybe address some of those. You know, for me, I would describe my skin disease, the biggest issue being almost the comorbidity of it, you know, the mental health burden, the low mood, the way it makes me feel and the confidence and everything. This approach, kind of hearing you talk, gives me a hope that perhaps that will come into the conversation. Is there any other areas, like apart from mental health, that we hopefully can capture with this that maybe isn't being captured as a patient experience with skin disease?
Okay, maybe I can comment on this because it's also an important point where we have learned a lot. I think that many derms had some hesitance to assess or to ask for mental health and other psychosocial problems because they don't feel comfortable with the feedback of the patient. If you ask somebody if he's depressive and he says yes, then you have to deal with it. And so in that sense, we had to clarify that whenever we screen for comorbidity, and I think depression is also a form of comorbidity, then we are the screeners. We are not the solution finders for everything. So this needs to be separated. It's important to identify psychiatric or psychological problems, but not to solve them. So for this, you need a network of other specialties supporting you. But in the meantime, there have been very simple instruments to screen for this, like the WHO-5. For losses of well-being and for depression, or the two question tests screening for depression and anxiety, the PHQ-2 and GHD-2. This is what we can implement. We can teach derms to have simple tools, easy to use in practice, and just screen for problems and then link patients who are suffering from this to others if it's otherwise not soluble for the derms. So I think that this the good progress also in this, if you mean this, Joe.
And Dr. Sommer, I don't know if you've got anything to add on that point.
Well, actually, I would like to comment on your previous question, because actually my vision for a better holistic healthcare world is, I mean, it would be really great, or I would love to see that that we are able to certify all clinics and all practices for people-centered care, right? And this includes, for example, that we really prove that each clinic, each practice assess patient-reported outcomes, applies shared decision-making and several other issues from people-centered care, and that all the clinics who really apply with this definition get a certification for people-centered clinic or practice, and that then this can be also invoiced by the health insurance. So with this, then we have a much bigger competition between the clinics, between the practices, to really apply a holistic care. And I think this would be really a great improvement. And yeah, I would love to see this really to be able to certify clinics for people-centered care.
Yeah, that sounds great. And I think the important thing is about having this conversation with all parties and understanding all the pressures and all and what, you know, so you understand what my desired outcomes are as a patient. I understand the pressures that you guys are under. And I think that really come across, because earlier this year I had a conversation, Professor Augustine, with another dermatologist. I said, why don't you ask me how I'm feeling? They weren't my dermatologists. I would never be that brave to ask that to my dermatologist. But I said, why don't you ask, you know, how we're feeling? And just to come back to your previous answer, it was that I would not know what to do with the results I got from that. You know, I can't go down the corridor to an integrated mental health team and say, Joel needs help, can you come in and take over? And yeah, there's a real issue there in not understanding, you know, as a patient, you think, well, people don't care, but there's all these pressures here, isn't there? And not having that joined up approach makes it really difficult. So, thank you for sharing that, because I think it's really important that both sides understand the challenges that each are facing. So I suppose my sort of like final point for me, because you two have been so super efficient in answering everything I've rattled through my questions. So I suppose the final bit I wanted to sort of like say is, like, you give me a lot of hope as a patient when you talk and the work that you're doing. And I hope that just is a stone that gathers momentum and spreads, you know, to become the norm. I suppose for anyone that's hearing about people-centered healthcare for the first time tonight, and that feeling of being a partner in their care might feel like a very long way off, I suppose I just want to give you both an opportunity to say, like, you know, what does the future look like? Where have you seen change? And any way you can maybe sort of like offer that hope that this is the momentum of travel and the direction we are going in. First over to yourself, Professor Augustine.
Yeah, actually, looking in the future is somehow difficult because you don't know the future. But if I should anticipate may happen, and we start with the practical healthcare, then I think we are progressing, because especially dermatologists are getting more and more sensitive to the needs and the burden of skin diseases, and they get the tools, as we discussed, to really evaluate this and to deal with this. So the next steps is that these best practice examples move into new standards. And we are really on the way to this. So it's a standard to have a person-centered approach. It's a standard to screen for a mental health comorbidity. And all this, I think, moves into this direction. And if you see the guidelines from the past 15 years, they get better year by year. They get a more patient-centered year by year. Yes, and this is the healthcare level. If it comes to health policy, I again see that there's the need to position skin diseases, that they matter, that there is a global burden of from skin diseases. And here we need to just have the courage to repeat the same messages year by year. It's not that you can, I don't have to tell both of you, you cannot just send out a message once, but you need to repeat this, put this into different words, have multi-channels. And with this, we are perceived as credible and as important when we talk about skin disease. And finally, this needs to be done conjointly. So in the future, I see the need for further interaction and appearance together like we do now, like we have done also before personally. And this interaction and the strong alliance between the patients and the healthcare providers is key. And I'm very optimistic for further improvements.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for sharing that. And Dr. Sarma, over to you. Probably a little bit unfairly since you both work in the same field, but what have you seen from the research in side of things in terms of that direction of travel where you could maybe offer hope for patients that are watching this?
Yeah, so actually I'm really, really hopeful. And this is what we can really see more and more that, as said before, it's absolutely crucial and it's requested that for upcoming research projects, doesn't matter if on national or even on European levels, patients really absolutely needs to be involved as said, designing the studies, etc. And this is really requested. So new research projects will not succeed in the future if you cannot really prove that patients are taking part in these projects. So this is one really, I think, big improvement, and I'm really hopeful that this will be the standard. Another issue is that what I can see, I mean, what actually the vision that I just draw for people-centered care certifications, we have it already for one small part of people-centered care, which is shared decision-making. So in Germany, we have now more and more clinics that are getting certified as shared decision-making clinics. And this needs to be proved when at least 80% of the whole staff is trained in shared decision-making, then you get the certification as a SDM clinic. And then this is again also covered by the health insurance. And I think that we are really on a good way to get this as a standard for dermatology in at least whole Germany, and hopefully also in the midterm future for other European countries.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for sharing, and thank you again for both giving up your time on a Sunday evening. We're very privileged and lucky to have you both. So thank you for giving up your time, and for the second time, Professor Augustine, I appreciate it. I will let you get on and enjoy the rest of your weekend. But yeah, on behalf of our audience, the community, and everyone I sort of try to represent, thank you for doing vitally important work, for the great messages that you share, and more importantly, for just being wonderful people. And I look forward to catching up with you both soon in the near future.
Thanks so much. Thanks again, Joel, for inviting and listening to us.
Brilliant. Thank you both. Speak soon. Bye-bye.
Have a nice evening too. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.